Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Jets and Giants, a tale of two quarterbacks, a tale of two teams that the records for both look bad. The Jets, of course, 0-6. The Giants only 2-4. But a very different feel, very different vibes around these two teams. And a lot of it has to do with the quarterbacks. To talk about the New York football teams, we bring in Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post. We're going to talk some NFL with Mark. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Lori. How you doing?
Doing well. Mark, you wrote a column. I spent an hour now talking about the what we saw in London from the New York Jets and their quarterback situation. I'm going to lead now with the Giants, and we'll get to the Jets in a moment. And you wrote a column this week that Jackson Dart is essentially like a savior for the New York Giants franchise and head coach Brian Daboll's job. But you also said that, look, if people don't want to believe that after three games, he is the savior, that's their prerogative. Kind of give me, frame your thinking on this. How do you see this?
Well, I mean, you know, you were talking about both teams for a second as in your lead in, Lori. Mm-hmm. With the Giants, you know, if you're a Giant fan, you have hope because of Jackson Dart and Scadabo and these young guys they brought in. If you're a Jet fan, where's your hope? There's no hope. There's no quarterback. We saw today that, obviously, and we'll talk about it, Justin Fields is not, he's not a proper NFL quarterback, a starter. Listen, it's three starts for Jackson Dart, but you can just feel the energy that this guy has brought to this franchise. I found myself after the Thursday night game that I covered, you know, the Giants, you know, their biggest win of the year, obviously, the biggest win in a while against the Eagles, who've owned them. I found myself thinking where would this team be if Russell Wilson was still quarterbacking? I mean, it was, you know, I think a lot of people, including myself, are very skeptical and not believers in Russell, and I'm not trying to rip Russell, but we all know he's past his prime, long past it. What I see out of Dart is a guy that is fearless, he's got moxie, and he clearly has the tools. And again, he has not been in a shootout yet. He's only passed for 200 yards once in his three starts. So we haven't seen everything yet, of course, and it is early. But it's pretty clear that this guy has got the tools, and I don't mean just physical, but just everything about him that fits New York, which is not an easy place to fit, as you know. You know, doing the sports you do in this town, you know, we talk about it a lot over the phone. So that was my takeaway immediately. I was down in New Orleans, you know, on last Sunday, Now, the Giants threw that game away. You know, and Dart had three turnovers. The first one was really the most egregious, which was the fumble. The first pick was essentially a punt on a fourth down.
Right.
And the other one was when they were desperately trying to come back. But even in that game, I saw good things out of him. So, yeah, I just think he brings hope. And the Giants fan has not had a lot of hope in a long time now. And, you know, the Jet fan is still searching for it.
So, Jackson Dart, Eli Manning could not be more different in terms of personalities and play style. But one thing that we always appreciated about Eli was that he made the other players around him better. And are we seeing that already from... You know, if we're going to check boxes for Jackson Dart and say, what are the skills, what are the attributes, what are the things we're seeing, are you seeing a player that is elevating other players?
I think we're starting to see that, Laurie. You know, again, we always, and Brian Daboll's been the first one to say, hey, listen, this is a team win, and it was. I mean, but I in a weird way, I do think, and maybe it's the same way when I'm talking about the fans, I think that the players around Dart, you know, feel energized and feel more hope than they did, you know, when Wilson was back there. So in that way, yes. You know, I think any good quarterback is going to make everybody around him better. So I'm seeing that in Dart without question.
And then what are some of the characteristics, again, if we're just trying to look at attributes, what are some of the things as you think about what's important in a quarterback, what are some of the positive attributes you're seeing?
Well, the one thing that I love, like physically as a quarterback, mm-hmm. and I find it uncanny, and I asked Abel about it after the game, he has got an amazing ability to feel the rush around him, but yet keep his eyes down the field. He creates so many plays, and I don't really see him. Listen, he's going to have to learn how to slide more often when he does scramble.
Yep.
But when he's in the pocket, Laurie, he keeps his eyes down the field, and at the same time is eluding the rush. He is, you know, I think that's a God-given ability. You see some guys that are, you know, that are jittery back there. They may have some great skills, escapability skills. I just haven't seen that many quarterbacks that are able to elude the rush. And I'm not talking about like scrambling way outside the pocket and you know, to the sideline and try. I'm talking about within that pocket box, he slides and steps up and steps back and is able to avoid the rush and still buy enough time to find an open receiver and make big plays. And, you know, so that to me, I mean, listen, we all know he's a great athlete and he's a great scrambler and a runner. He's tough. He's not afraid of, you know, to lean into guys, which he's going to probably have to do less. But that ability to elude the rush. I'm going to bring back Wilson again. If you watched Wilson, you know, he literally looks like he's spending most of his time looking at the trouble around him when he's facing a pass rush, then keeping his eyes down the field and finding open receivers. It's the complete opposite to me. I don't think he creates time to find open receivers the way Dart does. So, to me, that's the most stark difference, and that's just one of the most quarterbacking, you know, physical, you know, things that jump out at me. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that I like about him, but that's the one thing just in terms of physical and the way he plays the game that jumps out most to me.
I'm sure we can think of, you know, other examples of fun athletes in our town, but the notable ones that come to mind, you know, when we think about it, I mentioned Eli Manning before and the success he had with the Giants and that type of personality. I think Eli looked at Derek Jeter and said, all right, you know, that's how you succeed in New York, in that Aaron Judge is cut from that model. Mm-hmm. There's a calmness, there's a steadiness, and there's a, you know, they're not the most exciting interviews. They're, you know, you find out more in Eli after his playing career, you know, more about how much fun he is.
Who knew, right?
Yeah, but you don't see it as much. You know, he didn't let us all in, and that was how he handled the New York media, and that was just fine. He had the results, you know, all of those that I've mentioned have. But You know, Jalen Brunson, even for all the podcasts and some of the fun or whatever, there's a certain steadiness about the personality. And I'm not saying that Jackson Dart isn't steady, but there's a different vibe about him. And I'm hard-pressed in trying to think about, you know, when, you know, obviously winning a Super Bowl is really fun, but when have we had an, you know, what athletes that were transformative sort of pop into your head that had this same sense of, I don't know, just, you know, just fun that we're seeing right now from Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I don't have a quick answer for it, because these guys are charismatic. And they're helping, at least in the short term at the moment, the Giants win. And, you know, as long as they stay healthy, they're going to continue to do so. But, yeah, I mean, you know, to a degree, it almost seems like the best way to survive in New York is to be boring in public, you know, like the Jeters and Eli's and Judge to some degree. You know, so that is – it is interesting. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, you know – you know, listen, obviously our football teams have been so bad here for, you know, for so long. It's kind of, I almost think of like a Rex Ryan when he took over the Jets,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in 09 and injected life into that franchise.
Yep.
You know, like that life lasted only so long because Rex is a candle that only burns for so long. Right. But, you know, that's the biggest, that's probably the most biggest comparison I can think of at the moment, just in terms of energizing a franchise that's been down for so long. You know, that's a comparison I would make.
But
listen, if you're a Giant fan, let's hope, you know, that Dart's star, you know, burns a lot longer than Rex's did here in this town.
Talking to Mark Canizero about Giants and Jets, and on the Giants, though, then if you see what Dart is providing, obviously Malik Nabers, number one wide receiver, gone for the season. Darius Slayton at the moment is injured. You'd expect him back at some point. But with what the Giants have in terms of receivers, would you expect the Giants to go out and trade for a wide receiver to help Jackson Dart? What would you do?
I would certainly look at the market. I'm not really sure what's out there that's mm-hmm. realistic. I think you have to look at the market. Think about how well, you know, how good he's looked with the receivers that he has around him right now. I mean, when you think about, just a couple of days ago, who Jalen Hurts was throwing to compared to who Jackson was throwing to, you know, that tells me, how good of a job that Jackson's doing. And quite frankly, it also tells me how well the Giants were coached, because I think that they've done a really masterful job, even to some degree in the Saints game, getting the tight ends involved and using as many tight ends, you know, sets. You know, Theo Johnson has become a real favorite target of darts. You know, they kind of came in together and, so I look at both elements of it, but I mean, at some point that does catch up to you as well. I mean, at some point not having a true number one receiver, you know, you just can't function that way. But, you know, is there a number one receiver out on the market that's, you know, affordable to pick up? As we know, trades are not, you know, don't exactly, you know, fly off the books in the NFL, you know, the way they might, you know, say in baseball or something like that. But I think they should look into it without question. But here's the cool thing, to some degree, Laurie, and you know, I thought, you know, little Jordan Humphreys the other day.
Great. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, and my colleague Ryan Dunleavy, I think he wrote a piece on it the other day, kind of alluding to the fact that Jackson Dart doesn't really care, you know, Humphrey could be a number one receiver. You know what I mean? These guys, they're both young guys. He's slinging it around to who he's got to sling it around to. And he's also not been a part of this giant losing culture. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at it like, oh my God, what are they going to do without a top receiver? And Dart's looking at it like, well, I'm just going to throw to these dudes that are healthy and we're going to win anyway. You know, so that's kind of his attitude to a large degree. And, you know, And let's see. I was very impressed the way Humphrey played the other day. And the other thing I was impressed with was Dart's trust to go to these guys and put the ball up and he's a tall receiver, let him go up and get the ball. And he made that great 34-yard reception, you know, to set up a score, Humphrey did. And, I mean, that's something, for example, that Justin Fields didn't do today, but he didn't put the ball up and let his guys make a play. You have to do that at some point.
Yeah. All right. So a couple questions on the Jets before I let you go. Defense played well and special teams did well, and the passing offense was the worst ever in terms of net yards by a Jets quarterback, and that's saying something. And I know you're somebody, not only have you covered both New York football teams, but you were a Jets beat writer at one point, so you've seen a lot of Jets football. If you were Aaron Glenn, how would you have handled the quarterback situation today with Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor waiting in the wings?
I thought today, offensively, from Aaron Glenn to Tanner Engstrand, it was coaching malpractice today. I mean, if you have a quarterback that is so obviously and clearly struggling the way that Fields was today. And yeah, he was sacked 9 times, but probably 7 of those or at least 6 of those 9 were his fault for holding on the ball too long.
Yep.
And you know, he comes here with the reputation of not being able to process and see down the field more than maybe maybe his first read. And yet there was no adjustment made whatsoever. And oh, by the way, if you have a good pass rush, what's one of the best remedies to that? Throw the quick passes, the first read quick passes to a Breece Hall, who, oh, by the way, had 0 targets today, the first time in his career.
How about a screen pass? If the pass rush is getting home, throw a screen pass to Breece Hall.
Yeah, it was just the whole coaching process to me was criminal, right down to the end when they were at the 50. And the only thing they could do with any remote success, and I use the word remote, you know, in capitals, was to run the ball. Why were they not running design runs with Justin Fields,
right,
who's the best runner on the damn field?
Right.
I mean, he ran 7 times, but the most of that was just running for his life. There were almost no design runs. So when you're at the 50 and you need to get 10 more yards, you know, actually they were even inside there at the 46. 5 or 6 more yards, they're in Nick Folk field goal range, and you send Fields back, you drop him back to pass, mm-hmm. after what you'd seen with the passing game all game, mm-hmm. That to me is like you are literally not even paying attention as a coach to do that. I mean, if I'm Aaron Glenn and I hear that going over my headset, I'm calling timeout. I'm grabbing Engstrom by the lapels and saying, dude, we're running the freaking ball here. We are not passing it. You know, I mean, they could have fallen forward for a few yards and given Folk, you know, at least a halfway decent chance to kick that winning field goal. So across the board, that's as grim a coaching job as I've seen in a long time. And I want Aaron Glenn to succeed. I was pro Aaron Glenn. I love the hire. But right now, he's been looking overmatched, and that's, you know, that hopefully will change, because I want him to have a proper chance here, you know. But I mean, honestly, in terms of in-game coaching, this was as brutal as I've seen in memory.
So last one, before I let you go, as somebody who you've covered, you know, so many different coaches in our, you know, in New York, and you've watched for Giants and Jets, you've watched coaches come and go. And is it important, and if it is, why, from somebody who's been in the room and asked those questions and sat there day after day in these post-game press conferences and head coach press conferences, when we see Aaron Glenn kind of seeming to be insulted, shocked, surprised, combative with the media based on the questions that are asked, like Brian Costello today from the New York Post asking him about whether Justin Fields would start the next game. And when you see that from Aaron Glenn, why is it important, if at all, if it is, for a head coach to have a good relationship with the media and not be combative? Does it matter?
I think it matters, you know, because it is a vibe that you're portraying. Like, to me, like I looked at Aaron today and I was really disappointed. I didn't think he took enough accountability. I thought to react to Brian's question, which by the way was phrased in a softball fashion.
It was.
You know, he prefaced it by saying, you know, listen, I know you got to look at the tape, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, is this something you got to consider next week? Like there wasn't a more fair or pertinent question asked in that press conference than the one that Brian asked. And I'm not saying that because he's my teammate. I mean, that's the question everybody who watched that game, if you're back home as a Jet fan, wants answered. And so I hated the reaction to that. You know, Aaron was always a professional as a player. I covered his entire playing career as a Jet when I was the beat writer. And, you know, he knows the difficulty here, knows the volume, the media, all that kind of thing. You know, so I think he comes in here with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. When you're 0-6 and you're doing what you're doing right now, you gotta chill out a little bit. Now, I get it, it's frustrating. I understand, you know, listen, they've lost 3 games by 2 points and another one by 6 points. That's 4 out of the 6 losses are by less than a touchdown. I'm sure this is wearing on Aaron. I totally respect that. You know, and like, here's a guy that's still waiting to get his first NFL win, you know, as a head coach. But you cannot react to a question like that. It's not like Brian was, you know, thumping his fist on a table saying, you know, why the hell is this guy still playing? Why did you know? He didn't ask that question in a combative way in any way. That's just a head coach acting and reacting like that. He's not going to last that long. It just doesn't work. I'm not saying you got to be everybody's pal, but you have to understand the job. It's, you know, the jobs of the people that are, you know, asking the questions. And if you're being asked a question that's being asked disrespectfully, and I hear that all the time in locker rooms, and it pisses players off, and I totally understand. I heard a couple of the other, you know, in New Orleans, you know, abrasive questions to players when the Giants lost to the Saints, and I just shook my head. That wasn't the case today. I think everybody, you know, beginning with Ryan, asked questions very respectfully. And when you give off that impression that Aaron gave today, it gives the impression of a guy who's panicking, of a coach who's panicking and not comfortable in his own skin. And I didn't like to see that reaction today, because that question was the first question that needed to be asked in that press conference today. And if Aaron doesn't understand that, then he needs to sit down and figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post. Really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Good talking to you, Lori. Thanks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.